Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. We are live, and it's hour three, and it's great to have you in on a Friday. Going to Vegas this weekend. You going anywhere, Joy?
Going to Pittsburgh.
Oh, my Lord. I don't even know why I ask. Of course you're going to Pittsburgh. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I have Charlotte Flair in 15 minutes. I'm interviewing Triple H tonight at the MGM.
Lots of wrestling.
You know, Manny Pacquiao fights tomorrow, Fox pay-per-view, right? I'm reading a story about Manny Pacquiao. Like, hard work matters. I'm not saying it doesn't. But genetically, there are people on our planet who just, they were built to live longer, right? Or built to sustain more punishment. Manny Pacquiao is literally an unbelievable. I walked by Manny Pacquiao. I said this yesterday. Probably about a year ago, before he fought Keith Thurman. And I thought Keith Thurman would win the fight. He was younger, spry, big puncher. Pacquiao dominated him. I read a story this week. Pacquiao, what's his training like? He's eating like a bucket of KFC every day. And Ryan just told me, Usain Bolt was at the Olympics, and there's a story that he was eating 100 chicken nuggets a day and then setting world records and winning. And it is amazing. Like, I'm not saying hard work doesn't matter, but I remember having a friend could go down to South Carolina. Is very humid in the summer. We all know this, the South. Like, South Carolina is, it's an oven. So it'll be 96 and humid. And he would play 36 holes of golf and drink all night. No. And he did it for 5 days. I'm like, one day of that, I would be in bed at 5. I would sleep
half a day.
Like, some people, and I'm just like, the guy upstairs or the person upstairs just touched you genetically and gave you stuff I can't. I have to go home and take a 20-minute nap for talking. All I do is talk about sports.
Yep.
And I tell my wife this. I'm like, you see some people in life and they drink a lot and they've done some smoking. They live hard lives. They travel a ton and they're kind of falling apart and they're like 74 and they just don't get sick and they can just rock star it, and it's like they're fine.
Yeah, it is kind of rock starry. Ocho Cinco talked about what he used to eat before games and stuff.
Manny Pacquiao's like 40 something.
Yeah, some people are just built different.
If I
look at a piece of bread, I gain a half a pound.
It's like Manny Pacquiao is a wonder. None of it makes sense. So he'll win the fight this weekend, and just remember how many times he's been hit, how many fights he's been in. He's almost like a boxing savant. I mean, the way he studies it, the angle. I'm not just promoting this because Fox has it. He's one of those people on earth that you're just like Tom Brady appears to get younger. Now, some of it's probably some.
But he also really, and I mean, he's kind of the opposite of that. Like, he doesn't believe in French fries.
He won't drink a beer in the season.
Yeah.
That I do not believe in. That does not work for me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DoorDash, don't forget, get more from your neighborhood. $10 off groceries, pet food, alcohol too, because of summer. Try Dash Pass for free. It's always amazing with DoorDash. I can go to 1,000 restaurants. I always go to 3. It always works that way for me. I can live in a neighborhood with 30 restaurants. I find an Italian joint. I find some place that's got pizza.
Well,
you know,
they save the orders for you, too, so they make it so convenient.
I know.
Just get your favorite thing.
You know, listen, on this show, we only bring the best on. No fringe people, only champions on this show. And this weekend, it's a SummerSlam. It is a massive event. John Cena, Roman Reigns is one of the headlining events. And we can pick who we want to bring on the show. And I said, the Queen is the only person I want on the show, the great Charlotte Flair, an 11-time WWE Women's Champ. She is joining us now live. 4-0 in SummerSlam matches. By the way, you do not age. You're in better shape today than the last time I saw you. Give the audience some perspective. You know, we all know you're the daughter of Ric Flair. Your workout ethos, your workouts are legendary. In the average month, How many planes are you on, and how many hours a week do you work out? Let people know how hard you work.
An hour and a half a day, at least. It's like my one time to decompress, to turn everything off, to kind of forget the outside noise. So I'd say an hour and a half a day, minimum 30 minutes. But I just have to move. I just have to sweat.
So you are fighting in a triple threat match with Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley. And you have what they want. And, you know, it's almost like LeBron James. I'm the best player. You all want it. Do you feel pressure? Do you love it? Do you love annoying them? Take me inside what it means to be you in matches like this weekend.
Well, I think that's how I came up with the name, The Opportunity. Whether I have the title, whether I don't, I'm giving the women an opportunity to beat me. If you beat me, it's like, that's what makes you a champion. Nikki A.S.H. has the Raw Women's Championship, but if she beats me tomorrow, it's like, that's even bigger, but now it's a triple threat match. It's just giving them the opportunity to be in the ring with me. They have to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. Some people don't like to be a villain. There are times I think you love just getting in people's head. Am I right on that?
I do. It's just, if you can get people to react, whether it's good or bad, and get under their skin and go with it, I enjoy it. I enjoy getting that reaction out of people. And the more you dislike me, the more you like whoever I'm facing. And that's what it's all about, good versus evil.
So Cena takes on Roman Reigns. Now, Cena is, my takeaway is he's legendarily nice guy. He has messages. He's very positive, very optimistic, the good guy. Roman Reigns, not always the good guy, can be a little bit of a heel. So do you find yourself ever rooting for certain people in big matches?
I think this match is bigger than just Cena versus Roman. It's just these two massive superstars and what they mean to our industry. I mean, when I first started, I always said I wanted to be the Cena of the company because no one works as hard as John Cena. I mean, he has a work ethic second to none. And then you have Roman, the new face of the company. I mean, he's been the face for a while, but he has come into his own. He's a new character. You're seeing all these layers. He's saying, yes, there are levels to this. But I don't necessarily find myself either rooting for Roman or Cena. I'm just, it's the spectacle of it. It's like SummerSlam has turned into another mini WrestleMania. And seeing just these two superstars, and Cena has transcended WWE, and Roman, just go at it. I'm just here for the ride. It's not even who I'm pulling for. It's just take me on that roller coaster. I'm so excited for them.
Did you know that Cena was a star instantly? The first time you saw him wrestle, did you know it instantly?
I don't necessarily remember the first time that I saw him wrestle or noticed that he was a star. But when you see him speak on WWE television, you can't deny his love and passion and respect for this industry and what the fans mean to him. Like, you can't fake that. Like, when he talks, you believe every word he's saying. So that's, to me, what drew me to him and was like, wow, like, he oozes what he's saying. Like, yes, like, Roman oozes confidence, but when Cena is talking, you eat every word up.
So I have somebody in my life that loves Sasha Banks. She faces Bianca Belair. Again, big personalities. Take me to what you think we'll see tomorrow night.
So for Bianca and Sasha, Bianca, to me, she's newer to the game, instantly had the it factor. That's what's making her so special. Sasha is one of my oldest rivals. We go way back, one of the four horsewomen. She already is. She is the boss. And she has that just natural swag. But tonight, SmackDown is in Phoenix. And seeing them face-to-face after facing each other at WrestleMania this year and being back against each other tomorrow night on SummerSlam, again, I don't know who I'm rooting for. They're both just ooze that confidence. But Bianca will have a lot to prove to beat the boss again.
Do you think you intimidate other women in the ring?
I think I intimidate men and women. Let's be honest.
Yes, completely. So, by the way, in your personal life, you seem to be happy as well. Your professional life is flying. It's a good time for you, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot in my career. I mean, I've been able to main event pay-per-views, Raw, SmackDown, main event WrestleMania. But I really feel right now I am so like zoned in and in the best shape I've ever been in. My promos are just getting better. The character, like I am in my prime right now. Like I can't wait to see what my future holds because I didn't come this far to come this far. And one, I'm looking forward to stealing the show tomorrow night. There's only one queen in WWE.
What's one of your favorites? What's one of your favorite SmackDown moments? If I said Charlotte, a moment that you still think about from time to time, what is it?
So it's a sad moment, but a good moment. So when my dad was sick a couple years ago, SmackDown just so happened to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, right after my dad was released from the hospital. And I didn't know my dad was at SmackDown that night. And obviously we all thought we were going to lose him. And somehow he had this miraculous recovery. But I wrestled Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I won. And when I won, my hometown was chanting, "You deserve it," but not. That wasn't even the best part. When I got out of the ring and was walking to Gorilla, they had my dad come out of Gorilla and I just ran. I'm going to get emotional. I just ran to him and hugged him because the whole time he was in the hospital, I was just like, am I never going to see my dad? Is he never going to see me wrestle again? Like, yes, I do it for the fans, but there's nothing like having your parent, you know, be there to watch you. So seeing him come out after everything, like that's my top SmackDown moment was, yes, that moment's just about me, but you couldn't fake anything that was happening there. And winning the title, it was just like light. Just a perfect. You can't write these kind of things.
Yeah, congratulations! You can cry on our show. You can get very emotional.
No, never.
I've cried on my show.
I spent all this time on this makeup, Colin. You know how long this takes?
Hey, great seeing you, Charlotte. The Queen. It's SummerSlam. It's Vegas. You look fantastic. Rooting for you. I'm heading there after the show today. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. She is really a performer. She is really gets it. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, is that Ali got it. Conor McGregor gets it. Like, some people just have the ability. John Cena cracks me up. I went to a WWE match and he just moseyed over, and it's just like, oh, this, you can just see it in his eyes. Like, this guy totally gets it.
Well, yeah. I mean, WWE is the best at finding people who get it. That's why they're so successful, but you can't manufacture that at all.
Some people are just comfortable in the sphere of tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that is something that's kind of in you. It's what is, isn't that the biggest fear in the world is public speaking?
Well, Vince McMahon's pretty good in public.
Yes.
I mean, the guy who created it. By the way, tune in tonight. Special SummerSlam edition of SmackDown, 8 Eastern on Fox. Here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herd Line News.
I feel you, Charlotte. I refuse to cry in public.
Why?
I don't know. It's not, there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm very emotional, though.
You are very emotional.
Well, I have 6 kids. It's just tumult.
I'm very emotional. I just bury it deep down. You put a lid on it.
When you have kids, it's a faucet up there.
No, I mean, I cry like once a day, but it's just there's nobody around. Nobody can see it. So 10 NBA executives and scouts participated in a survey on the upcoming season. As you mentioned earlier, Giannis and Kevin Durant split the vote for the best player in the league, and LeBron took it as a slight, tweeted about it, washed king.
He got very upset.
Look, you know what? Whatever you want to use as motivation, I'm cool with.
Michael Jordan did this.
Yes. I don't know how much, if I was a player, I would put into this because there's only 10. I guess it depends on which 10, but we don't know. But you know, if you feel slighted and that gives you an extra little juice in the gym.
Yeah.
Cool. But LeBron's Lakers did receive 5 of the 10 votes for who would win the West.
Oh, they did.
They did. The Nets were the choice to win the East with 7 votes and to win the title with 6. There were also votes for the worst offseason move of the year.
Now, what time out? Golden State got 2 votes.
Yes.
So Stephen Clay's coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. Draymond has just made the front office mad. Wiseman's not on the same timeline.
Well, I don't know when they asked them about this.
I don't think Golden State has a chance to. I think they'll be better, but win the West?
You don't think so? with a healthy Clay and Draymond and Steph.
They just drafted 2 18-year-olds.
There's Wiseman's a lot that can happen, though. What if Anthony Davis isn't healthy for the whole season?
Well, I mean, Denver's going to be better. The Clippers at the All-Star break, if they get Kawhi, that is a lot of love for the Warriors. I think they'll be better.
I think people are genuinely very high on the Warriors this year.
Yeah, I guess. After Steph and Clay, Draymond's not a scorer. He's heart and soul, but he's not a scorer. Where do the points come from is, I guess, my question.
Do they need any more points?
Well, I mean, those guys give you 28 apiece. I'm at 56. I need 112 to win.
Draymond?
Okay, that's nine.
Nine points.
I mean, they got a lot of young guys.
I don't know. I think they're going to be a problem. I think people are sleeping on them. Obviously, the 10 executives don't. DeMar DeRozan to the Bulls and the entire Pelicans offseason tied for first with the worst offseason moves of the year with 3 votes each. And Westbrook
DeRozan gets
Lakers.
A lot of shade. For a guy that goes 20 points a night, super athletic, tries on the defensive end, he gets a lot of shade.
Yeah, I don't get it. Westbrook to the Lakers came in third with 2, which I think is kind of strange also.
As a worse move?
Yeah, because I think he's very important to them during the regular season.
They need somebody to play minutes.
Right. Yeah,
he's hyper athletic. They're not as a team.
Kyle Lowry to the Heat was voted the best offseason move.
He's a good fit. Yes. What was his second best move?
I don't know how.
Patty Mills to the Nets, I thought was a good move. I thought Mills to the Nets. It's more of what they do, but he'll be a great bench player for them.
Yeah. So the Jets have lost a big piece of their team. Defensive end Carl Lawson suffered a ruptured Achilles in practice and will miss the entire 21 season.
Brutal.
He was their big free agent signing this offseason, 3-year, $45 million contract. He's only 26 years old, but safety Zane Lewis also tore his patella tendon and suffered a sprained MCL during practice and will miss the 2021 season as well. Lawson spent his first 4 seasons with the Bengals, had 81 total tackles, 20 sacks, 83 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles. Both of these are really big losses for the Jets. And we were talking earlier, we need to be very patient with the Jets this season.
And Greg Knapp, the coach, passed away. Carson Jordan Palmer touched on that. So they lost an incredibly kind of a heart and soul assistant coach. Now your best defensive signee. The left tackle has come in out of shape. The Jets, not me, are acknowledging that. And you got a rookie coach and a rookie first-time play caller.
And a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy you can't take anything from the preseason. When Dak Prescott came out, his first preseason, and I pushed back. I'm like, it's preseason. And it was like, no, dude can play. Right now he can play. There are things you can notice you see young players pop. You're like, oh, yeah, that's Kittle. I remember seeing Kittle the first time several years ago. And I'm like, it's like the Iowa guy? And you're like, oh, that's going to work.
I think you can see a lot of skill position players, defensive players pop in the preseason. When it comes to quarterbacks, though, all I'm really looking for is poise. Do you feel like you're out of your element? Do you seem nervous?
Does a game engulf you?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I expect you to make mistakes, sail one, throw one short, things like that. But if you overall look poised and confident, then that's like really all you can ask
for. That's been Mac Jones, who I had my questions on. He's looked poised.
Yes.
He feels it like his feet are good.
There's no panic.
No panic. Yeah. He's got,
you're not bailing on the pocket too early, all those things. So Ben Roethlisberger will take the field this weekend with the Steelers in their preseason game against the Lions. There's no set plan for how long he's going to play, but he wants to take as many snaps as possible to get used to the new offense.
We've got a new system. You know, there's a new coach to player communication, in terms of a new guy. The offense is different. He's up in the box as compared to on the field. I would love to get as many reps as I can. It's been how many months since I've actually stepped on a football field to take a hit or play I know it's preseason, but still just meaningful type reps. And so, with the newness of it, I definitely like to get as much as I can.
They're also rebuilding their O-line and their running game. They had, I read on one of these sites, I forget which one, may have been PFF, that they had a couple offensive linemen really grade highly so far. So they're not a rebuilding team. They're not. No. Their defense is great. They're really not. But they are rebuilding their O-line, and history tells you they get it right quickly.
Yes.
The Steelers don't have bad off. Now, at the end of last year, it was not a good O-line. So they are in rebuild O-line mode. And I trust they'll get it right pretty quick.
Well, also, you know, to Ben's point, it being a new system and the fact that the O-line is a cadence unit, you all need to be on the same page, you all need to be in rhythm. I do think there is some value to him being out there. Again, preseason is whatever the team needs it to be. If you're the LA Rams, LA Chargers, you don't feel like you need anything to do with your starters out there in any way, cool. So you're filling out the rest of your roster. For the Steelers, you want to get comfortable with the new coordinator and the new system and with the new running back and rebuilding the offensive line. You have rookie quarterbacks. You have guys like Jordan Love you need to see time with. It's hard to evaluate the preseason. I think you just take pieces of it and don't let it form your entire opinion of what a team is going to be. And, you know, that's how we have to look at it. Because, look, we're all – I'm, like, watching this game last night, like – wait a minute, it doesn't matter who wins or loses.
Right, right.
But it's like we're so excited for football, oh, it's yeah. hard to, you know, take a step back from it all.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What are the headlines going to be after this weekend of preseason? There's some really, really good games, some fun stories developing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Tired of waiting around for hot water? Choose Navi and get instant hot water, spa-like comfort. Save hundreds on a tankless water heater from Navi and tanklessmadesimple.com. Well, Jason McIntyre, former newspaper guy, gave that industry the boot, came to Fox, and he does something we call tomorrow's headlines today with stunning accuracy, makes weird predictions. They're right off. And by the way, condolences. The jet season's already over. I mean, they had the worst week of practice.
Can we not do this? I mean, come on. This is such a depressing start to this, Colin. Come on.
Denzel Mims can't stay healthy. I'm sorry.
Why don't I make a good prediction? You and I win a lot of money at the craps table in Vegas this weekend.
All right, you're going too?
I will be there, yes.
All right, good. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Let's talk some NFL predictions. Which team is Super Bowl bound this season?
These are bold predictions, Colin. This, you're not going to hear a lot of this anywhere else. Let's start boldest. The headline will be Baker, championship maker. Now, I know you're laughing, and all the Browns fans who've watched this show for years, you and I have taken our shots at Baker. I'm just saying, Colin, let's put it aside and look at the reality. They have the third easiest schedule
they
in
do.
The NFL. And the smart people look at the win-loss totals of the opponents, not like what the opponent did last year. They have it all lines up for Baker, okay? By the way, the offensive line, top five unit in the league.
Oh, it's probably the best, yeah.
The two running backs were both top 10 in broken tackles, all right? This is a really strong team this year, and I know people want to talk about the Ravens, and they still got to get by the Chiefs. It's going to come down to your guy, Baker. Remember in that playoff game against the Chiefs, 8 minutes left, fourth quarter, Browns get the ball with a chance to take the lead, but they wouldn't unleash Baker. They didn't have him throw down the field. They end up punting and lose. This is a season they've got to trust Baker Mayfield. I'm just telling you guys, keep an eye on the Browns this year to potentially get to the Super Bowl.
I don't think it's crazy. I just think Buffalo and Kansas City are quite a roadblock. Tomorrow's headlines today. Which head coach in the NFL should be the most concerned for their job?
Oh, there's a lot of them. I know a couple of you definitely want a guy in Chicago, maybe a guy in Arizona. The headline will be, jury is in and judge is out. How about Joe Judge in New York? Is he in trouble, Colin? I just want to frame it this way. If you look at the last couple weeks in the preseason, they had an inter-team fight that was ugly. They had three guys retire out of the blue in a week. And it's just like the vibe is negative. Then you look at the GM, who's definitely in trouble, Dave Gettleman. He's 10-30 since he took over as GM. And then you look at Judge and this team, and you got Danny Dimes. And all of a sudden, I had people asking me, are you going to bet on this? Like, don't tell me what you think. Tell me what's in your portfolio. And I took Joe Judge, plus 2,800, first coach fired. He is going to be walking a tightrope. He did not look good last year. I know there are other coaches in trouble, but Joe Judge is the guy I would be backing to go out first.
Oh, I love him. All right.
You're a fan of Joe Judge?
Yeah, I thought they got better almost every week. I do think Daniel Jones is in bigger trouble because he has a major fumble issue. Like, yeah. It is a problem.
And Jason Garrett's a problem, the offensive coordinator.
All right, Saquon I like him
Barkley,
too.
Is he going to play? Whoa, okay, all right. I didn't know. You're the guy, huh?
He went to an
You're the one who likes Jason Garrett.
All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Which player will have a breakout year?
Yeah, this one is it's a fun quarterback. You and I both know him. The headline will be SoFi, so good. Justin Herbert, Colin, what a phenomenal rookie year. Remember everybody that would talk was tank for Tua, right? And then Joe Burrow came out of nowhere and he was like, ooh, the new shiny item. Justin Herbert was better than both those guys by a long shot. And I don't want to disparage Tua too much. I know Joy, big Dolphins fan. Justin Herbert was the number one quarterback, number one passer rating when under pressure in the NFL last year as a rookie. Now, I know that's tough to duplicate, but when you go out and get an all-pro center from the Packers to be on your offensive line, then you draft the kid to start at left tackle, like they address their needs. That team is kind of sort of loaded. I know it's a tough division. I like the Broncos a lot, but Justin Herbert, you know, you sniff around, you look at his MVP odds, they've gone down. People are betting on Justin Herbert to win the MVP. That's too rich for my blood. But I do really think he's going to emerge as a star, legit star in this league.
Yeah, they also had an interesting draft where they may have stolen. There's a receiver out of Tennessee. I think his name is Palmer. I've had more than one person tell me, watch him be the steal of the entire draft. He was Tennessee didn't have much at quarterback. He's a receiver.
Yeah.
And who was on this show recently? I talked to somebody who was at the practice, and they went, oh, Aqib Talib.
Oh, yeah.
So he watched them and said, oh, that guy's going to be a breakout star as a rookie. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Who's going to win Rookie of the Year this season?
I feel like since every week I'm on this show, I'm just gassing this team up probably too much. The headline will be Florida Lawrence is Rookie of the Year. I'm all in on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon. I bet they're over wins. I bet them to win the division. Colin, people forget this. Chip Kelly's first year as a head coach. You know, Urban Meyer hasn't coached since 2018. Chip Kelly's first year got to the playoffs. Jim Harbaugh's first year got to the playoffs. It happens. And I think Urban Meyer will surprise some people. I know Lawrence didn't look amazing in the first preseason game against the Browns backups. However, this is a guy who has a lot of talent around him. The offensive line's actually not terrible in Jacksonville. And they're going to be trailing a lot, right? Because the defense is suspect. He's going to put up big numbers. Some people like Justin Fields here, but Trevor Lawrence, remember, Andrew Luck comes into the league, wins 11 games, okay, as a rookie. Why can't Trevor Lawrence win 9 or 10? Because this is a Jacksonville team, Colin, that was tanking last year, right? They start win their first game, lose the next 15. But about halfway through, they realized, oh, we can get Trevor Lawrence. So they trot out some, like, you know, CFL-type quarterbacks, Jake Luton. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. And they were actively looking to lose for Lawrence. So they should have been like a 5-win team last year. Trevor Lawrence, Rookie of the Year.
That's a good point. It actually is a good point. They didn't want to win. Tomorrow's headlines today, who's going to win MVP this season? You know, Justin Herbert's a 22-1 bet. That's an interesting bet.
It's not awful, but he's in a tough division. This guy, you know, we saved the best for last, Colin. The headline will be from MRI to MVP. Dak Prescott, MVP. What say you, Mr. Cowherd? This is a Dak Prescott-led offense that is going to be trailing a ton this year. The defense couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. If you remember, Dak was putting up 400-yard games early and often. If he doesn't get hurt last year, this guy's probably throwing for 5,000 yards, 45 touchdowns. The numbers are going to be, like, astronomical in this offense. And if the offensive line's healthy, look at the division, Colin. I mean, he's the best quarterback by a mile. Danny Dimes, Fitzpatrick, Jalen Hurts, who, yikes, did you see the story last night on Jalen Hurts? I feel like when you look at Dak Prescott and the schedule, seventh easiest schedule on the books for the Cowboys. Everything's lining up. I know every year, you know, Jerry's a bit of a carnival barker, gets people excited. This is probably the year for Dak Prescott to put up monster numbers with a loaded offense. MVP odds, I think he's 14-1.
You know what I'm surprised at? How many people are selling Josh Allen stock? I've read two or three stories. It's like, okay, timeout. Good ownership, really good GM, good coach.
Great offensive coordinator.
Great offensive coordinator, super talent. The one thing they struggled with, their run game last year was Singletary. They didn't have much of a run game. And their pass rush was really hit and miss. They addressed that big in the draft.
Yeah.
I was like, folks, it's not just the quarterback. It's what he's surrounded with. Josh Allen has like A-plus people all around him. The O-line's actually better than people think. They just need another running back. So
I guess my only pushback on Allen, Colin, first 2 years in the league, he's like 58% completions. Last year, he goes to 69%.
Yes.
Like, is that really – who's the real Josh Allen? Is it the guy who's 58% the first 2 years or 69% an MVP candidate last year? Is it probably somewhere in the middle?
It's in, you know, here, I'll throw something. We have a minute and a half left. Jordan Palmer came on earlier, and he said it's a mistake when you have Justin Fields and Andy Dalton to split the snaps. It hurts the young guy.
Mm.
It's a mistake to split the snaps Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew. Play the young guy. Now, the Niners are different. Garoppolo has earned it. But it's very interesting. Just a minute left. Chicago, who would you start and why at quarterback?
Justin Fields, for sure. I know they face Aaron Donald in the opener, but it doesn't matter. Nagy's on the hot seat. He's one of these guys. I think he's the favorite to be the first coach fired. Justin Fields gives you a chance to win, brings excitement to the franchise. Like, he's mobile behind a terrible offensive line. He's going to be able to make plays with his legs. I don't think Dalton can do that anymore. What do you call him, the beige water pistol?
Yes.
He's like 35 years old, 34, I think. Justin Fields gives them a chance to win. They'll probably get smacked around by the Rams in week one, but the schedule softens up after that. I throw Fields into the fire.
Yeah. And would you, Mac Jones or Cam, what you saw last night? There's an argument.
On the podcast, I said, listen, Bill Belichick has a tough one. You could lose the locker room on this because Cam is the guy in the locker room. You know, he has been for 2 years, last year since they signed him. People love Cam Newton. He's the guy who's an MVP. He's a larger than life figure. And he posted on Instagram about, you know, there was a little tension there, I think, going on with the Patriots. It's a tough one. I think he'll probably pick Cam, but I would go Mac Jones.
All right. Hey, don't drive drunk, obviously. Don't drive stoned, obviously. The reaction time slow way down. Drive high, get a DUI. Message paid for by NHTSA. If you feel different, you are different. All right. Good show today. Nice stuff. We had everybody. Kevin Clark and Jason McIntyre, Charlotte Flair, SummerSlam. I'm interviewing Triple H later tonight. Ooh. That guy. These wrestler guys? Dude.
Well, I noticed Cowherd's looking bigger, people. Up close, he's looking like he's put on a couple muscle pounds, right?
M-Drive and power bars.
Bench press.
Yeah, all right. Obviously. We'll see you Monday. The Herd.